Let me ask you to turn in your notes to a discussion entitled Toward a Biblical Understanding of Man. Toward a Biblical Understanding of Man. And in this particular session, I just want to let you know that if you have questions as we go along, feel free to raise your hand and all that sort of thing. I'm happy to let this thing go whatever direction it needs to go to be most helpful to the folks who are here. There's a reason why I have this labeled as Toward a Biblical Understanding of Man, and that is, it's not intended to be the end-all, it's not intended to be the only way that this material could be laid out, but it's just sort of, can I use the word evolution in a right sense? I mean, it's just kind of where I am in the evolution of some of my thinking on this, but it's not the only way to lay it out, and if there are some holes or if there are some questions, I'm as happy, or comments, clarifications, I'm as happy to take that as anything. I asked you right in the beginning of your notes, what is anthropology? Obviously, we're talking about the doctrine of man. Anthropos is the Greek word for man, so anthropology is the study of man. I asked you also in your notes at the beginning there, well, is anthropology the most important topic in counseling? You can probably figure if I would pose that question, the answer that I'm going to give is no. And I just wanted to bring that out at the beginning of this. I am concerned about many books on counseling that seem to start with man. I do think that's the wrong place to start in counseling. I think you always want to start with theology proper. You want to start with the doctrine of God and then move into anthropology. I think that's a fatal flaw in many counseling theories and theorists. And so, yes, this is important, but it assumes a commitment to understanding the doctrine of God that I think would be even more important than this one. We also asked you in your introduction, where should we turn to learn about anthropology? Well, there again, that's kind of dumb question number three. I mean, it's you know how we're going to answer that question. We're going to answer it. We're going to turn to the Word of God. But the reason I bring that up is because do you recognize that a substantial percentage of Christian counseling theories are based on an approach to anthropology that finds as its source of truth something other than the Bible? I think the way anthropology should work is studying what the Word of God says about the first Adam before the fall and about the second Adam, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, you want to look at the ideal man. You want to look at what all that the Scripture reveals to us about Adam before the fall and about Jesus Christ. But is that the way secular systems work? No. Most secular counseling systems are based on an approach to man that's flawed human beings studying flawed human beings. And even worse than that, it's flawed human beings studying the particularly flawed human beings. I mean, who is it that Freud worked with? Who is it that Skinner worked with? Was it people that were doing well? No, it's like, let's get the people who are most messed up, study them, and come up with a theory. But does that make sense? I mean, it just doesn't seem to wash. Yet, many of the Christian counseling theories today are based on that particular anthropological source, a study based on flawed human beings studying really flawed human beings, supposedly coming up with truth, and that's supposed to be the information that we use that is better than the Word of God. Methodologically, that just doesn't seem to make sense to me. And you realize even Maslow agreed with that particular point. Because Maslow diverted from the common thinking of the day by saying what? No wonder your theories are so strange. Look at who you're studying. I'm instead going to study people who are self-actualized. I'm going to study people who are making it, and I'm going to try to figure out what is it that they have done to make it, and then I'm going to base a theory that will help other people follow the same steps. Now, I don't know about you, but if you were to put the secular theorists out there, if I was going to have to pick from one of them, I would pick from Maslow, at least on the basis of that particular approach makes more sense than studying the people who are really having trouble. Now, obviously, we still have problems with Maslow because we're still talking about flawed human beings studying flawed human beings, but there still is that problem of much of what passes for Christian counseling today is based on secular psychology, which has a flawed approach to anthropology, and if you're off when it comes to anthropology, you are just plumb off, period, okay? Now, let me throw a disclaimer into this discussion. I'm going to bring up some purposely controversial issues here in our next few minutes together, okay? Are you ready for that? Yes? Well, the answer, obviously, for each theorist is going to be somewhat different. But many times, as you just read their books and try to be charitable, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited about this, but many times when integrationists have a place where secular psychology doesn't seem to agree with the scripture, secular psychology wins. And I'm sorry to be mean-spirited about that, but oftentimes these are individuals where their psychological training trumps their biblical understanding. If I could use a poker analogy. There's a little integration, by the way. But to push it a little bit further, one of the challenges right now is that counseling is really hot. And you might say, oh, I thought that was good news. Well, it's kind of good, but it's a lot bad. And here's why. A number of these schools are starting counseling programs. A number of Christian colleges are starting counseling programs. And I can be excited about that until they say, but in order to maintain our accreditation, we have to have people teaching counseling who have secular degrees. Now, I realize I'm talking to people who have secular degrees. Please don't send me mean-spirited emails later on, okay? I'm still processing the ones from yesterday. I have no problem with a person who has a secular degree as long as they have a stronger foundation in biblical and theological truth. But many of these people who are teaching at these Christian colleges have a PhD in secular psychology and a Sunday school level of knowledge of theology and biblical truth. That's going to be a problem. And I'll tell you, it's a problem for a couple of reasons. You start getting these classes where even in Bible colleges or Christian colleges, you have a situation where these students are studying in Bible class or theology class. The bell rings, they go down the hallway, they hear something from psychology class that's entirely different. Well, that's just wrong. The way it ought to work is the kids sit in Bible class or theology class, they listen, they take notes, blah, 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 blah. Bing, the bell rings, they get up, they go to counseling class or psychology class, and what they hear in psychology class ought to be a natural extension of what they just heard in Bible and theology class. And the people who are teaching down there in the psychology or the counseling class, they ought to have a great amount of respect for the people down here teaching in Bible and theology. But any of you who are familiar with what's going on in many Christian college campuses know that is not the case. I mean, we're talking about turf wars. We're talking about all of this. When you have people who have deep problems, you're going to have to send them over to us, the professionals, blah, 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 blah. Which is why, and you can decide about this, what you think of this. When John MacArthur was asked to become the president of Masters, one of the first things the guy did was cancel the psychology department. That's a fact. And then, you think that's radical, he brought the counseling classes under the authority of the Biblical Studies Division. Well, that's and for any of us to say, well, wow, it's like, hello, that's so patently obvious. And their school, they paid a price when they did that. Now their graduate division is the largest biblical counseling graduate division that I know of in the United States. So God has blessed them, but they had to pay a significant price for that. Now, for the educators in the room who are now ready to fuss at me about what I just said, I do understand the whole accreditation thing. If you say, well, our school has to maintain accreditation, blah, 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 blah. Therefore, we have to have a person down there who's got a PhD in secular. Because we've got some people who are here right now in this conference who have PhDs in secular system who are committed biblical counselors. So I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm saying it's not frequently done. And so the whole accreditation thing, I just believe if you're going to let the accreditation tail wag the academic dog, you've got things backwards. In fact, we started, the room you're in right now, we started a Christian school here 9 years ago. And we decided we were never going to let the desire for accreditation make us compromise our values in any way, shape, or form, or we wouldn't be accredited. And so we just decided we're not doing that. And now, today, ironically, we actually have dual accreditation. We have accreditation with a Christian accrediting body. We also are accredited by the Indiana State Department of Education. But I will tell you, when we went down there, Sue Ellen Reed is our superintendent of instruction or whatever she's called, or Board of Education down there. When we went and appeared before them, we went into a room and there was a big video monitor. They played our school's promotional DVD. And obviously, it's the promotional DVD that we use to explain who we are to prospective parents. So we're talking all about Christ-centered education. We're talking about our core values. It's right there. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, there went our accreditation. And I also said, and so what? I mean, I'm glad they played it. I'm glad they understand who we are. We passed unanimously with the State Board of Education. They were delighted for what we're doing. And by the way, I'm